Buying a dental practice is one of the smartest decisions you can make. If you buy the right practice, you can easily double, sometimes triple, your income that you're making as an associate. The key, though, is to make sure you're not just buying any dental practice, but you're buying the right dental practice. If you do this right, you can have so much success, but if you do this wrong, you can be in a lot of trouble. I had a dentist reach out to me recently who bought a practice and they did not ask for my advice before they bought it. They came to me after they had bought this practice and they basically said, "Hey, Dr. Marshall, I am worried because I am losing money at this practice and I'm not sure what to do." So I took a look at the practice that they had purchased. I don't know if I can help this person. They bought the wrong practice. They bought the wrong practice. I want to go into all the details of exactly what they bought, why they are now probably going to go bankrupt, how this was one of the worst decisions they possibly could have made. They should have just stayed at their associate job if they were going to buy a dental practice like this. My name is Chris. I help dentists buy dental practices. I've been an owner myself. I've been through this process a bunch of different times now, and I help dentists evaluate and understand if practices are worth buying. So today, I want to go through and show you this practice that this dentist should not have bought. I changed some of the details just for confidentiality purposes. Obviously, there's a lot going on here, and I don't want to give away who this person was. But you need to make sure that if you are going to step into ownership, that you know what you're doing. I know I have a lot of other videos on my channel where I talk about how important it is to become an owner and how much more freedom you can have, how much more control over your schedule, and how much more money you can make. But that's only if you buy the right practice. That's only if you do this right. If you do it wrong, you can get into a lot of trouble. And so that is what I want to talk about today. All right, so first off, if you are not familiar, I do have a practice evaluation checklist, which is a free resource. I'm going to put it in the description where I talk through and walk through a lot of these things that we're going to talk about today in the video, but in more detail, looking at exactly what you're looking for when you're buying practice, how to evaluate a practice, et cetera, with the documents you need to have. If you haven't checked this out, I recommend it. It's down in the description, free download. So the practice that was sent over to me earlier this week, buyer reached out and said, "Hey, I bought this practice and I'm not doing well." They bought this practice about 6 to 7 months ago, and they've been losing money every month since they bought it. So honestly, before we get into it, I'm going to show you an example of a decent practice purchase. Now, this is a report that anyone who works with me, I will make a report like this for a practice you're looking at. And we're really going to go through and see if this practice is worth buying. Now, this report is just to get started. You're going to have to do a lot more due diligence than just what's in this report. But this is a good first step in understanding if a practice is worth buying. So right off the bat, this is the sample practice. This is not the practice this dentist had bought. This is an example I'm going to show you of a decent practice that might be worth pursuing more interest in and might be worth buying. First page, executive summary, potential net income of about $300,000 to $365,000. We rated this sample practice as a good opportunity. Projected net income, we estimate the average dentist will be able to reach between $1.2 and $1.5 million in their first year of ownership. After subtracting expenses and loan repayment, we expect that the average dentist will be able to produce between $298,000 and $365,000. This sample practice has a patient base of 1,357 active recall patients. Keep in mind, a successful dentist is likely going to have between 1,000 and 2,000 active patients. If you have less than 1,000, you're just not going to have enough patients at your practice to be profitable. And once you start getting over that 2,000 number, it starts becoming unmanageable and you're going to have to either bring in an associate or go with a group practice type model. So between 1 to 2,000 is a good range. This sample practice has 1,357 active recall patients. Now, we calculate this number and verify it in multiple different ways. Do not just take the number from the broker or the seller and take that as fact, because oftentimes the numbers given to you by brokers and sellers are inflated and not accurate. We can go through exactly how I like to calculate these numbers. There's a bunch of different ways to do it, but the worst way is to just listen to what the broker says, because that number is almost always inflated. On this sample practice, we recommended the buyer pay between about $900 and $1.1 million. The practice was listed for $1 million, therefore it was within the recommended purchase price range. It was a good opportunity. We gave this practice a 7.2, good opportunity. I'm not going to go through everything in this report, but here you can kind of see what we look at when we're looking at practices. We're looking at not just the financials, but also the business, the actual business that's happening at this practice. How many crowns were being done? How many buildups were being done? How many bridges were being done? how many fillings. I like to separate between one and two surfaces or three to four surfaces because those are really different things. There should be a lot of one to two surface fillings done, but oftentimes if you're doing too many three to four surface fillings, some of those probably should have been crowns. We look at endo, we look at implants. The number of implants, ortho cases, extractions, molar endo cases done, dentures, RPDs, those things are very important to look at because when you buy the practice, you want to make sure that you're able to replicate what that seller was doing. If you buy a practice where the seller was doing a lot of specialty work or was overproducing on patients, a little bit of foreshadowing on what you're about to see in this practice, I don't recommend buying. But if you can find a practice where those numbers are on the lower end, you can come in and you can grow the practice and provide value. But if you buy a practice where there were a high number of specialty procedures being done, a high number of crowns relative to the number of active patients, it's going to be much more difficult for you to replicate that production. And there's a chance that you're going to overpay for this practice. Potentially your rent is going to be too high for what you're able to afford. And then you can get into a situation where your expenses are greater than your production, and then you lose money on a practice. And that's exactly what happened in this situation. So here's just a little bit more. I'll skim through it. We're going to get into more detail here on our next practice. So here is the practice that the buyer who reached out to me earlier this week brought to my attention that they bought and they are now losing money. Obviously, I've hidden the name. I changed the location. I can't give away the location for obvious reasons. But remember on our sample practice, let me pull it up real quick just so you can see. I want to show you this comparison here. The sample practice, potential net income of $300,000 to $365,000, active patient base of 1,357. All right, now we're going to move over to the practice that I definitely don't recommend buying. Potential net income, -$472,000 to -$577,000. This buyer bought a practice where they are likely going to be losing hundreds of thousands of dollars their first year of ownership. And then they come to me saying, "Hey, Chris, I don't understand why I'm not making any money at this practice." It's because you bought the wrong practice. Projected revenue and net income. We expect the average dentist will be able to produce between $400,000 and $500,000 in their first year of ownership. After subtracting expenses and loan repayment, we expect the average dentist will be able to earn between -$400,000 and -$500,000. Don't buy a practice like this. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to show you exactly what went wrong and why this practice seemed appealing to this buyer, but in reality was a horrible practice to purchase. So right off the bat, there were 5 operatories in this practice, which is not bad. That's a decent number of operatories. If you can find 6 or more, that's preferred. It gives you more room for growth. 5 operatories, though, is a decent starting point. Asking price is $1.3 million. That's a lot of money. If you're going to pay $1.3 million for anything, let alone a dental practice, but for anything, you need to spend a huge amount of time evaluating that thing you're about to buy to make sure it is a good purchase. I just cannot understand how people spend $700, $800, $1 million, $1.2, $1.3 million without actually even hiring someone to help them evaluate if this thing is worth buying. Like if you haven't bought 20 dental practices before, you probably shouldn't be buying this one by yourself because there are so many things that you might not realize is going on here. If you buy the right practice, you're going to do really, really well. But if you buy the wrong practice, you can really mess up your life and really be in a difficult situation. Key practice metrics, 449 active recall patients. This dentist paid $1.3 million for a practice with 449 active patients. And to make matters even worse, average new monthly patients at this practice was only 10, right? If you need to have between 1,000 to 2,000 active patients in order to have a profitable practice, and you only have 449 active patients, you need an extra 551 patients in order to at least start being profitable. You're only getting 10 new patients per month. I mean, right off the bat, assuming you're not going to lose any patients, which there are going to be some patients that leave. That's just the reality. But assuming you're not going to lose any patients, if you're getting 10 new patients per month, you're going to need like 50 months in order to get to the point that you're profitable. Are you able to support a practice that's losing money for 50 months before you start making money? Maybe if you're a big DSO, maybe you could, but most solo buyers need to be profitable at least by month two or three. You can't be in the situation where you're going years without making any profit, or you're going to go bankrupt unless you just are independently wealthy and love wasting money. The rent for this practice was $8,000 per month. This person, just for the building, is paying $8,000 per month, and they only have 450 active patients. That's a bad situation. Now, here is what the seller got confused about. They listened to an accountant and a banker who told them, well, this practice is really profitable. The seller did $1.6 million in revenue last year. That's a pretty decent number. If you can do $1.6 million in revenue, you're going to be doing pretty good. I mean, really good. That's a good number. And I've seen this over and over again. Banks and accountants and lawyers, et cetera, who don't actually understand how dental practices are run, will simply look at the seller's production and they'll assume that a buyer is going to be able to replicate that. Sometimes banks will take it a step further and they'll ask for your production reports so that they verify that you're able to produce the kind of numbers that were being produced at a practice. And in their minds, they're like, well, that's kind of just making sure the dentist is able to produce what the seller was able to produce. But the thing is, you got to keep in mind, your production as a dentist, while it's half based upon your skill set, it's also half based upon having enough patients to see. Probably a lot of you watching this video or listening to this podcast are in situations where you're at an office that you're not busy enough, and you could be producing a lot more if there were more patients there. Your production is not always limited by your skills. Sometimes it's simply limited by not having enough patients to see. If you buy this practice that only has 449 active patients, you are going to be spending a lot of time at the office sitting around with no one on your schedule. That is just not enough patients to have a full-time schedule at a dental practice. How many hygienists were there at this practice? There was only one hygienist at this practice. That's a pretty big red flag. If you're paying more than $1 million for a practice and there's only one hygienist, you need to take a step back and say, this might not be the right practice to purchase. Because a hygienist is really only going to be able to see something like 600 to 800 patients per year. And remember, you need at least 1,000 patients in order to really have a profitable practice. Therefore, if there's only one hygienist, there's just not enough patient flow to have a very profitable practice. Now, this is on average. There are some dentists that are able to produce a lot more than the average dentist, which the seller of this practice was one of those dentists who was able to produce a lot per patient. If you are going to produce more than the average dentist, there are really two ways to do that, or maybe a combination of the two. Number one, the ethical way is you're just providing a lot more different types of treatment options and you're really good at treatment planning and, you know, maybe you're out of network with insurance companies and so you're able to charge a little bit of a higher price and so you can get that number up. That's great. If you're able to offer implants, you're able to offer Invisalign, if you're able to offer endo without having to refer that out, you can get that number up. But the thing to keep in mind is there's a second way that dentists make more money per patient, and that's treatment planning things that don't actually need done. And I would like to tell you that this doesn't happen, but it does happen all the time, and I see it when I look at practices. Dentists will treatment plan crowns on teeth that really just needed an occlusal filling. It happens all the time. Dentists will treatment plan crowns on teeth that didn't need anything done at all. Dentists will treatment plan replacing a crown on a tooth that already has a crown just because there's a little bit of staining around the margins, and they'll take a picture of it and they'll say, hey, Mrs. Jones, look, you got a big cavity under this tooth. See that brown right there? That's a big cavity. We're going to have to replace this crown. When in reality, all that was a little bit of stain. You take your Explorer around there, you're not getting any stick. There's no radiolucencies on the radiograph. This happens all the time. If you are going to take over the practice and you're willing to do that kind of shady business where you're, you know, doing things on patients that isn't necessary, yeah, you might be able to make some money, but are you really going to sleep well at night knowing that you're not actually taking care of your patients? You need to be careful that you're not buying a practice and overvaluing it because the seller was doing these kind of shady transactions. And in this case, I'm able to say pretty confidently that this dentist was doing some things that were probably not ethical. Now, the dentist was also a very high producer, and we're going to look at the specialty procedures in a little bit, and you're going to see how this dentist did a lot of Invisalign and a lot of different things. They also did just way too many crowns for the amount of patients. This dentist was clearly overproducing. And so this buyer bought the practice from a dentist who was overproducing, and they came in and they wanted to operate this business ethically without overproducing on patients, and now they're losing money. That's basically a summary of what happened here. Operational assessment, we're going to look at how many active patients there are at the practice. This is one way to estimate the number of active patients. We're going to take the total number of hygiene visits. There were 600 adult prophys, 18 child prophys, 36 perio maintenances for total hygiene visit of 674. If we take that 674 number and divide it by 1.5, the reason I like to use 1.5 is because on average, a hygiene patient is going to come back about 1.5 times per year. Some are going to come back twice a year. Some are only going to come back one time per year. On average, it's about 1.5. And so we're dividing it out by 1.5, and we got 449 patients. Now, something kind of interesting to keep in mind here, somehow this dentist did 499 SRPs last year, but there are only 36 perio maintenance appointments. I'm not sure exactly what was going on to have that happen. Maybe they do their SRPs and then they put patients on regular recall exams and don't do perio maintenance. I don't know. But it also is a sign that maybe the dentist dramatically increased their production in the year right before selling. This sometimes happens, and this is why the next step of due diligence is to look at some historical records to see if the dentist has been maintaining this production over time. I think in this case, the dentist knew they wanted to sell for as much as possible and just ramped up production as much as possible right before they could sell to inflate their numbers and make their practice look more valuable. So we continue on. Here's a production analysis. Basically, this is just looking at how many of the different procedures were being done. If it's red, that means it's an above average number of procedures were being done. If it's green, it's below average, which means there's an opportunity for growth, and gray is just kind of an average number. This practice has no green at all. We go back to that sample. Here, there's a few green. This one only had two green. It had zero bridge units were done and 9 dentures were done, which is below average. Still some red, still some gray. This practice is basically all red. I mean, 483 crowns, and there were only like, that's more crowns than patients. There were like 450 active patients, and this dentist did 483 crowns. That's an insane amount of crowns for the amount of patients. Now, if you have a practice with 2,000 active patients and you have 483 crowns, not as big of a deal. But if you have 483 crowns on 450 patients, that means the average patient is getting a crown every single year. That's not sustainable. That is, some patients are going to get more, obviously, and some are going to get zero, but that is not a sustainable number. And you as the buyer are not going to be able to come in and replicate that. And keep in mind, based on the numbers that I'm seeing with this practice, and because we're assuming the seller has ramped up production right before selling in order to inflate the value of the practice, you're going to come into the practice and all the crowns are going to be done. If the seller was treatment planning crowns on teeth that had staining around the margins, they're definitely going to have treatment plan crowns on the teeth that actually had gross decay or fractured cusp or the types of teeth that you're actually supposed to be doing crowns on. You're not going to see any of those on existing patients because they have all been treatment planned. There's not going to be any work left for you to do at a practice like this. And that's exactly what happened with this buyer. This buyer came in and they had absolutely no work on these patients to do. And they were only getting about 10 new patients per month. So they didn't have new patients to work on. And so they had all these expenses and they didn't have an income to cover those expenses. And so they were losing money. By the time they came to me earlier this week, they're out of money. They're at their last end. They're probably going to have to go bankrupt and close this practice down. I wish I could help them. I mean, I might try to help them a little bit, but I mean, they can't even afford to hire me to help them. So I don't know what to say. Next section is seller production by category. If you look, crown and orthodontics are the two high ones. Let's get into that real quick. Ortho cases. 106 ortho cases were done in the previous year. That's a lot of ortho. I think this was Invisalign or some sort of clear aligner, but 106 ortho cases is a lot. That means more than two every week because you're probably going to take a few weeks off. So like, let's say three a week. Most dentists are not going to be able to treatment plan three ortho cases per week unless they're an orthodontist. If you take over a practice where they're doing 106 ortho cases, it's going to be difficult for you to replicate it. I ask the buyer, how comfortable are you with ortho and Invisalign? How many of those have you done before? How many have you done since taking over the practice? They've owned this practice for about 9 months, I believe. And the previous year, they did 106 ortho cases. So you would expect by now, we'd have at least 60 or 70 ortho cases underway. And when I ask them how many they've done, guess how many? Zero. what? You bought a practice where the second highest production was ortho. Almost $500,000 last year of the revenue came from ortho. This is like kind of a specialty practice. There's just so much ortho being done. It's almost an orthodontic practice. And you as the buyer are not going to do ortho. That is extremely unwise. If you are going to buy a practice where there were more than 20 or 30 ortho cases being done, you absolutely have to do ortho yourself if you're going to buy that practice, unless the practice has been discounted dramatically to account for the fact that you as the buyer are not going to do ortho. You are going to get into a situation where you're paying way too much for this practice and you're not going to be able to afford it. Here's a quick list of top 20 procedure codes sorted by revenue. We don't have time to go through that right now, but I mean, number one, comprehensive orthodontic treatment of the adult dentition, D8090 is number one. That's the number one code for how much revenue they're making. 29% of revenue was coming from orthodontics. And this dentist bought a practice and is not doing orthodontics. They're losing money. I'm not surprised they're losing money. I don't know what else to say. What are you going to do? Financial analysis. We already talked about the projected net income is negative $400,000 to $500,000. Let's get into how we calculated that number. So active patients, 449. Generally, we estimate when you buy a practice, there's going to be some attrition. Some patients are going to leave, usually about 10%. So we're subtracting 45 from that. Now, there are 10 new patients per month, so 120 patients per year. We're going to add this together, and we're going to estimate you're going to see about 525 patients in your first year. The average dentist is going to be able to produce about $1,000 per patient per year. And so now that we know how many active patients there are, we can get a pretty good idea of what the revenue is going to be like. In this case, the seller is likely to make about $500K, not make, is likely to produce about $500,000 in their first year. Now, if you're a lower producer, you might only be producing something like $750 per patient. And so your number might be as low as $370. And if you're a higher producer and can do something like $1,250, maybe your projected revenue is going to be something like $600,000, $700,000, maybe $800,000 at this practice. Now we have it later on in the document. I'm just going to jump ahead to it. Seller's revenue per patient. So based upon what the seller was producing and how many active patients there were, the seller of this practice was doing $3,452 per patient. I want you to understand how incredibly high that is. Now, the reason that number is so high, there's multiple reasons, but the two big reasons that number is so high is because this seller is doing so much ortho. I haven't gotten into that much depth into this actual practice, but I assume other dentists are referring ortho cases over. This actually might be an orthodontist, although they're doing crowns. So I don't know if they're actually an orthodontist but they're charging like $5,000 per ortho case and they did like 106 of those. So that's going to help them really increase their revenue per patient. Benchmark, if you're going to buy a practice, ideally the seller is doing less than $800 per patient because that means you come in, you do 1,000, the seller is doing 800, you've now increased production by $200 per patient. That's a great growth opportunity. The average benchmark is a seller that's doing less than $1,200. Now, if you're able to do 1,000 and the seller was doing 1,200, the practice might shrink a little bit in your first year. It happens. It's not necessarily the end of the world if your revenue is a little bit lower than the seller's. Ideally, you'd like to increase it. But going from 3,500, there's just no way you're going to be able to match that. It's just not going to happen. When we take into account all the expenses here, fixed expenses, oh my goodness, like the payroll, the rent, and the loan payments together. I'm not going to go through and add all these up on this video. It would just be too long a video, but are about $900,000 per year. Okay. You have to produce at least $900,000 in order to break even because rent is so high, payroll is so high. I generally treat payroll as a relatively fixed expense because ideally, you're not letting your staff go or trying to reduce their salaries, at least in the first year. You're trying to hold on to the staff. That's why you bought a practice with existing staff. However, in this case, this buyer is going to have to let go basically all of the staff just to not go out of business. And then in addition to the fixed expenses, you're also going to have variable expenses, lab bills, supplies. And so for average production, if they're making about $500,000, their fixed expenses are about $900,000. Their variable are about $100,000. That's $1 million. They're producing about $500,000 with $1 million of expenses. They're going to be losing a lot of money on this practice. Now, in this case, the buyer is not losing quite that much per month. I think it's more like they're losing like 20 or 30 per month right now, and they're about out of money. I think they had to let go of some staff. And I think actually the buyer was able to produce a little bit more than this $1,000 per month number, which is great. I mean, it's good that the buyer is able to produce a little bit higher than average on these patients, but they're not going to reach that $3,500 number or whatever it was for the seller. That's just not realistic. Even if they produce double what the average dentist is producing and produce $2,000 per patient, they're only going to be breaking even at this practice in its current state. So what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to grow the practice by getting a bunch of new patients in. But they're only, from organic traffic, they're only getting about 10 new patients per month. They're going to have to start doing some advertising, but advertising costs money, and this dentist doesn't have money. They've spent all their money just floating this practice for the last 9 months. In this case, the buyer is actually working a second job just to maintain their own practice. That is just insane. I would absolutely not do that. Do not work a second job so that you can keep float another job. Why would you even have a job where you're not making money? Don't buy a practice where you're not going to be making money. Doesn't make sense. There's a whole bunch of other things we could go into on this report. We just don't have time. But look, asking price $1.3 million. That puts the price per patient at $2,895. So almost $3,000 per patient. Benchmark, ideally you're paying less than $500 per patient. Average is if you can pay less than $1,000 per patient, that's in a ballpark of a decent deal. This person is paying three times what an average deal is and six times what a good deal is. The numbers just don't make sense here at this practice. Buying a dental practice, if you buy the right practice, is going to be one of the best decisions that you've ever made in your life. You're going to be making so much more money. You're going to be having so much more control. If you've made it through dental school, then you are in a position where you can own a business, own a practice, and do so much better than your counterparts that are working as associates for Aspen or Heartland or Pacific. But if you are not going to take this seriously and you're just going to buy the first thing that comes to market just because an accountant told you it's a good deal, then you are going to be in a lot of pain. You absolutely need to have an accountant to do your taxes once you buy a dental practice. But relying 100% on advice of some accountant, especially an accountant who doesn't have experience with dental practices and doesn't understand how dental practices are run, is a recipe for disaster. This dentist was basically crying when they talked to me because they were so upset about what happened. They said, "I showed this to an accountant and the accountant said it was a good deal." There are good accountants out there. I'm not saying accountants aren't good. I worked as an accountant before becoming a dentist. I believe in accounting. Accounting's great. But accountants, especially those without dental experience, are not going to know if a business is worth buying. Let me say that again. Do not listen to people who have not owned a dental practice themselves to advise you on if you should buy a certain practice. Because if you don't understand how a business is run and actually what numbers are actually going to contribute to you making money as a dentist, then they're not the right person to ask. I've done what I can to put together a list of things you should look for in practices. That's the practice evaluation checklist. It's in the description below. If you're looking for specific guidance on practices, reach out. You can find my information, my website, my email, etc. You're about to make the biggest purchase of your life. Are you really going to just do it on your own without getting help? Maybe. Maybe you're going to be fine. You probably have a friend who's done this and they said, "I did this by myself and I did just fine." The thing is, about 70 to 80% of practice purchases are going to go fine. But do you want to risk being in that 20% that does not go fine? If you get into a situation where you buy one of these types of practices that is not profitable, you are going to completely destroy your ego and you're going to feel so small. You're going to regret doing this and you're going to go bankrupt. You're not going to be able to get loans in the future. If you buy a practice and go bankrupt, you're probably never getting a loan again to buy another practice. You're probably just stuck working at Aspen for the rest of your life. And instead of getting to keep 100% of the money that you make at Aspen, you are now going to have your wages garnished for years and years and years. And you're going to be paying back money to the government and to the bank that you went bankrupt from. And now you're going to be a dentist working 5 days a week, working super hard, and not even making $200,000 a year. Do not buy the wrong dental practice.